Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Glacier outburst flooding in Juneau broke records for the second year in a row. The Mendenhall River crested at nearly 16 feet in the early morning hours on Tuesday, sending a gush of ice-cold water into neighborhoods that have never seen this level of flooding before. Many residents made narrow escapes. KTOO's Anna Canny heard their stories and spoke to city officials about the response at the city's temporary emergency shelter.
Floyd Dryden Middle School housed dozens of residents that were displaced by Tuesday morning's record-breaking glacial outburst flood in Juneau. Weston Holland was one of them. On Monday, he went to bed in his apartment on Emily Drive. But in the early morning, he woke to find water on the floor, so he went to investigate.
And in the process of doing that, the front door had this look of water coming in from the side, like Titanic. And then the bottom of the frame of the door broke in, and a wall of water came in.
Water from the swollen Mendenhall River rushed into the basement apartment. The force of it pushed Holland back and flooded kitchen appliances like the stove and the fridge.
It went from just a couple inches on the floor to about my navel, I would say about a minute and a half. It was just coming in quick.
The Hollands knew that flooding was underway in the Mendenhall Valley. But during a catastrophic flood this time last year, their home didn't even take on enough water to activate the sump pumps. This year was different. Holland woke up his wife and their four sons so they could evacuate, and they got out just in the nick of time. The family arrived at the shelter around the time the floodwaters crested, just past 3 a.m. They were soaked from wading through the glacial water.
It was pretty much hypothermia that started setting in. The pain in my toes was bad.
Weston's beloved pet dog was left behind, along with a cat, a lizard, and some ducks. Glacial outburst floods happen every year in Juneau, when water from the glacial lake known as Suicide Basin drains into the Mendenhall River. But the last 2 years have been unprecedented. Last year's flood pushed the river to nearly 15 feet. This year, the river rose to a new record of nearly 16 feet. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr said the water spread much further into Valley neighborhoods this time. But the city is still trying to figure out how many houses were impacted.
Many homes experienced some level of flooding, some significant. I think somewhere in the vicinity of 100, maybe hundreds. We just don't really have a good handle on that yet.
The type of damage is different from last year's flood, too. Many riverside properties were damaged by severe erosion last year, which undermined foundations and caused two houses to collapse entirely.
We saw much less erosion this year. Don't have complete reports yet, but the significance of the impact this year is related to standing water.
The city issued an evacuation notice on Monday, but not everyone left. Debbie Penrose Fisher stayed put even after ALNP cut power to her neighborhood on G Street.
I mean, last year we saw the water, but it wasn't anywhere near.
By the time she realized this year might be different, it was too late.
We were completely surrounded, and it wasn't just still water. It was kind of like a pretty heavy flow.
Bound to her wheelchair, she wasn't sure how to escape. She relies on a supply of oxygen, and the batteries on her tank started running low. Just past 7 a.m., she made a call to Capital City Fire and Rescue.
It was stressful because I was trapped.
A rescue team was able to pick her up with a raft and take her to the shelter. Mayor Beth Weldon visited the shelter just before noon. She spent the morning patrolling the flooded neighborhoods.
Instead of a few inches in people's houses, they had feet, so taking lots of pictures to hopefully help with a national declaration of disasters.
The city and borough of Juneau has already declared the flood a local emergency and put in requests for state and federal aid. Governor Mike Dunleavy followed suit by declaring a state disaster emergency. Those declarations will free up recovery money at the state level and potentially draw attention from the federal government. In a statement on Facebook, Senator Dan Sullivan said he's been in touch with a top administrator at the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Mayor Weldon said she's spoken to Senator Lisa Murkowski, too.
We're already talking about what can we do to prevent this, because it was a foot higher than last year's, ironically on the same date, and we can't have this an annual thing.
But she says it will take federal help to quell those floods in the future. With help from Clarice Larson in Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
And producing locally grown food and drink in Alaska can be challenging. That's especially true of alcohol, which often relies on imported fruits, grains, and yeast, even when they're brewed in-state. But at Sweet Gale Mead Works, a Homer man is making alcohol from locally grown ingredients, with the help of thousands of tiny creatures. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has this story.
On an early summer morning, Jason Davis opens one of his hives and pulls out a frame. It's dense with bees, and more are buzzing around. They crawl in and out of the entrances of colorful stacks of polypropylene boxes.
As soon as they start landing, you'll see that they have little balls of yellow or orange pollen on their legs.
Davis has 25 colonies, that's over a million bees, in the backyard of his meadery in Homer.
Yeah, this is a happy day for the bees because it's either above 50 already or it's about to be, and there's almost no wind, and it's sunny, and the dandelions are out.
Davis turns around and squats down in front of a row of low bushes. He's planted nagoonberry, also called Arctic raspberries.
It's hard to get enough from the wild, so I grow them here. I have about 20,000 plants that I grow. Last year, I harvested almost 500 pounds of berries. Mainly my son harvested, but I help him when I can.
Nagoon berries, honey, and water are the only ingredients in Davis's most popular drink, a wild fermented mead. Davis walks back to his meadery kitchen to explain his fermenting process.
We do everything in 5-gallon batches. And this is the wildflower honey, which is our traditional straight mead. So there's nothing in there but honey and water.
Pure honey is antibacterial and antifungal, which means bacteria and yeast can't survive in it. But when it's mixed with water, yeast can eat the sugars and ferment it into mead, an alcoholic drink that tastes like honey wine. Davis says he's dedicated to using all local ingredients.
It's a desire to support local agriculture and to be local, and just the craft industry aspect of making an amazing, I think, world-class product just using local ingredients from here.
Davis says it's hard to find locally grown and produced alcohol in the state. Alaska has many breweries and wineries, but he says water is often their only local ingredient. As far as he knows, he says his meadery is the only commercially, locally grown and produced alcohol in the state. Davis ferments with local raspberries, currants, chaga mushrooms, apples for cider, and of course honey. His bees only provide about a third of the honey he needs, though his long-term plan is to produce all his own. That's because local honey comes with a steep price tag. It's more than 5 times the cost of bulk clover honey, and that increases his bottle prices.
I sell it mostly for around $30 a bottle, but I could sell it for half that if I was using Costco honey.
He says he can't sell much of his mead in stores around Alaska because the profit margins are too low. But he does sell directly to consumers online. And Davis says brewing with local ingredients makes his business more stable.
I think the more we can do here locally, the better it is, so we don't have to ship everything up from the lower 48 where it's a little bit vulnerable.
Davis says if for some reason the road system failed, he could still produce everything. And he says, like Alaska berries, local honey is delicious and much better for making mead.
If I make a raspberry or a black currant or a blueberry mead, you really, if it's fireweed honey, you don't taste the honey there at all. The focus is all on the fruit. Whereas if I get clover honey from Costco, it costs a fraction of the price, but it has a very distinct medicinal flavor that comes out once you remove the sweetness.
Davis walks out of the kitchen to the main tap room and slides behind the bar.
Let me pour you a glass of our blueberry, which is so delicious. There you go. And then maybe some kombucha. It's good to try some kombucha.
Davis says every year business gets a little better than the year before. And he says this year has been good for the bees. In July, he temporarily moved some of his hives to a higher elevation to boost their productivity. They're now gathering fireweed pollen in open meadows. In Homer, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And it's sunny in Juneau with a high near 80 degrees, and there's a little bit of wind coming from the northwest region. Tonight, it's also going to be clear with a low around 57 degrees and a little bit of wind as well. Tomorrow, it will be sunny with a high expected at 73 degrees, and later in the night, it will be low around 56 degrees. Thursday is expected to be sunny as well, and Friday will have a little bit of rain. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO.